It's time for the Newsmax Daily from Newsmax, America's fastest growing cable news channel. Now, here's your host, Rob Carson.
You know what I didn't realize? I left here and it was May and now it's June. And did you know that this is Pride Month? I don't even know this. And I didn't even know it was Pride Month until I tried to order Pizza Hut. And then I realized that Pizza Hut has got a new, they're endorsing a new LGBT-themed book. And the book is called Big Wig. And it's a reading incentive program aimed at children aged 4 to 12. Big Wig is about a child who dresses in drag to compete in a costume contest. And I just thought I was going to go order some pizza and some wings. Now, we all know that drag is commonly associated with gay men who dress up flamboyantly in women's clothes and adopt female personas. They are known as drag queens. I know this because we've gone to see several drag shows. They're hilarious. They really are. When I lived in Minneapolis, Miss Richfield, 1985, was a trans performer. Absolutely hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. They are not to be confused with transgenders or, I guess, can I say the word transvestite? I'm not sure if it's possible to say that anymore. But that's the thing right now, and I guess Pizza Hut has gone down with, that didn't mean to say that, and sounded kind of strange. But anyway, makes you kind of wonder about ordering a 9-inch or a 12-inch or a 16-inch. But anyway, that said, a lot of people are saying that, you know, Pizza Hut has gone completely full woke by endorsing this. Other companies have gone completely full woke with regard to LGBTQRSTUV month, which is this month, I guess, is... What is it? It's Pride Month. Okay, so it's not LGBTQIA++ because that's so ungodly ridiculous. It's just called Pride Month. And listen, I have no problem with gays or transgendered, whatever. You know this. You know, I actually officiated a gay wedding. There was no fighting involved. And then introduced a lesbian couple at their reception. You know, so no big deal to me. No big deal to me. But I think if Pizza Hut is going to go full woke, like they appear to have done, I think what they need to do is they need to sell a vegetarian pizza that identifies as a vegetarian pizza when actually there's sausage in it. Okay? So I think they ought to take the Pizza Hut veggie. They should do the Pride Month veggie pizza since they are down with the, you know, the transgenderism and all of that stuff. And they want to promote Big Wig. So what they do is they create a vegetarian pizza. And if you try to say that because there's sausage in the pizza, then you will be called a vegan phobe, a vegetarian pizza phobe. And so you just shut up and eat the pizza is what you should do. So what you do is they kind of tuck the sausage into the pizza, cover it up with cheese and veggies so you don't even notice it. Just looks like a veggie pizza. And you go ahead and eat the pizza and you're like, hey, I ordered a veggie pizza. And then they say, hey, are you a transphobe? What the hell is your problem? You just eat your pizza and shut up. That's just my idea. I thought it was a good idea. If you're going to go full woke and promote Big Wig at Pizza Hut, might as well do a vegetarian pizza or a pizza that identifies as vegetarian, but actually is hiding a secret, a sausage. And I'm just saying, maybe this is one of the things that I thought about last night when I was getting ready for the show. Now, we do have a loaded show. This is the introduction to the show. Things aren't looking so good in the polls. Here's ABC this weekend.
Yeah, George, what you're seeing is President Biden is a serious drag on Democratic candidates nationwide. And it's driven by his approval rating on a range of issues. He is badly...
What are the issues that are most affecting average Americans?
...underwater on all of the top issues, including the big ones. Inflation, gas prices. He has less than 30% approval rating on the issues that we're told...
Who the hell's approving of him?
...voters are dominating their state...
Maybe other people who are mentally infirmed.
...mind, even on issues like gun violence, abortion rights, issues that he is elevating into the conversation in recent weeks, he is still significantly underwater. The only issue that we see him above water on, 56% approval rating on his handling of COVID-19. The problem for Democrats and Biden is that...
It's because people have left COVID-19 behind and he just happened to be the president.
That happens to be the issue that voters are telling us is the least likely to be animating their vote this fall.
And, of course, they're trying to do everything they can to distract. To distract from this, including this new push for gun control. There was another mass shooting, by the way. There were several mass shootings in the country this weekend, and Joe Biden will not take the time to go visit these communities like he did with regard to Buffalo, New York. Mother of five was killed, seven others injured in a drive-by shooting at a high school graduation party in South Carolina. There were a number of these incidents around the country. We see there's no political capital to be gained from this mass shooting, you say. Adriana Tutu Kind was her name. Tutu is her nickname. Kind, the last name, was killed when gunmen opened fire on a graduation party. Seven others were wounded, six of whom were aged 12 and 17. Authorities believe the shooting was gang-related and a possible retaliation for another drive-by shooting. A GoFundMe page has been set up to help Adriana Kind's family pay for her celebration of life. It's also known as a funeral. She was 32, by the way. She is survived by five children, the youngest of whom is 3 months old. I don't think Joe Biden canceled his vacation to go visit this one. No, he did not. Yeah. Adriana's mother said that she was resting inside of their home when the party took place on the lawn. She said while she was resting, she had a dream that her daughter got shot. And then, of course, after waking, she went outside. She got outside. She started hearing gunshots from the porch fence. I could see a opening in my porch. Then I could see, I don't know what the color of the vehicle was, but I know it was that fire was coming from it. And then I saw my daughter lying on the ground. I could not go over there. I could not force myself to go over there where she was lying on that ground. Mindy Kind also said that her 12-year-old grandson was shot in the leg with a bullet entering and exiting his thigh. On her Facebook page, Adriana Kind said that she was originally from Somerton and graduated Scott Branch High School in 2017. In total, 60 to 70 rounds were fired during the attack. And oddly enough, most probably none of those were from an assault rifle. Never know. But, of course, this last week, while I was on vacation, they did their very best. The left, the mainstream media, big social media, did their very best to go after the Second Amendment. And let me just explain real quick to you what the Second Amendment is all about. It's not about hunting. It's not about target practice. It never has. And anybody who says that it's just about hunting and say, you don't need assault rifle, you don't need this, you don't need that to go hunting. Well, no, I don't. You're exactly right. You're 100% right. I do not need that. You know what I need it? In case the government decides to take over everything, disarm the population, and murder everybody, like has happened so many times in history by governments that espouse the same views as the left in our country. Yeah. So the next time somebody says that about the Second Amendment, you just tell them that the Second Amendment was created to protect the citizenry from an overzealous totalitarian government. That is why it is there. That is why you need a weapon of war if you can get it and decide to accept the responsibility and training to own that weapon. We saw in Ukraine, the country where gun ownership was basically stopped by the government. And then when they got attacked by Russia, the government was begging the citizenry to arm up, to take assault weapons and defend themselves. Kind of funny, huh? When the government was trying to save its own ass, they decided that gun ownership was okay. And the people were responsible enough to have one. The Founding Fathers said that we have the right to keep and bear arms. Are there people among us who should not be able to keep and bear arms? Yes, those who have extensive criminal records, those who are insane. And there are many laws in effect for both of those things. But still, things like what happened in Uvalde, things like what happened in Buffalo happen. We haven't addressed the fact that a generation of children have spent 2 years in absolute absolute solitude, have been terrified for the last two decades about climate change and then about a disease that wouldn't kill them, but closed their schools down and made them have to wear masks for years. None of that has been addressed. All they care about is, oh, we got a body count. We got a specific caliber of weapon. We don't know what we're talking about. We have an excuse to go after the Second Amendment. Fine, let's do it. Let's do it. And the big debate is 18-year-olds getting weapons of war. They're called weapons of war. I'm really thinking about getting an AR-15. I'm not kidding. Just to have it. Just to have it. I've already got several guns. I don't have an AR-15. I've got several guns. All legal, by the way. But I'm thinking about getting an AR just because I can. Just I can have it because I realize now how important it is to have that weapon. To defend myself, my family, not only against someone who might break into my home or injure me, but also an overzealous totalitarian government, which we appear to be kind of leaning toward. This is Jerry Nadler. The Nadler. He is a Batman villain. His power is being able to hike his pants up in impossibly high, close to his nipples. Here is Jerry Nadler being confronted about the whole 18-year-olds and raising the ownership age for a legal weapon to 21 years old.
16 for driving in some states. We recognize...
Now realize Democrats across the country want 16 to be the legal age for voting. All right, they want 16 to be the legal age for voting for precisely the exact reason that Jerry Nadler is stating why 18-year-olds shouldn't have guns.
21 for drinking. So we recognize different ages for different purposes. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Could I have a second to engage that?
Certainly. I'll yield to the gentleman from Kentucky.
Would the chairman join me in co-sponsoring a bill to raise the draft age to 21?
No.
But... the chairman feels that their brains aren't fully formed at 18, 19, and 20.
Your brain is not formed when you're that age, but we want you to vote, but not on a firearm.
Research does indicate that in certain respects, but the Selective Service needs, I mean, if the country needs people, it needs people.
It needs people.
Honestly, if the country needs people, it needs people. 18 to 21-year-olds, you do not have the same rights as everyone else. You don't. Now, you can fight and die for the country. Oh, hell yeah. You can fight and die in a place like Afghanistan or Iraq. But come back here, you can't have a gun, you can't drink.
People whose brains aren't fully formed?
In certain respects, yes.
I yield back.
In certain respects, but only selective. Respects is when we decide whether or not you are mentally able to own a gun. Fine to vote. You're fine to vote. You're fine to go to school and consider changing your gender when you're 12. But as far as gun ownership, no. See, because that's the whole brain thing. And, you know, that's that. Yeah. Back to the sujet du jour. Here is Joe Scarborough. This is him talking about assault weapons and the AR-15s and all that stuff. And Joe Scarborough is, I just thought he was kind of a turncoat conservative, but he's really quite stupid, to be quite honest. Joe Scarborough used to fill in for Rush Limbaugh, and he sold his soul for a piece of something, and he's saying stupid crap like this. About AR-15s and how they're deadlier than the M16 that hundreds of thousands of American troops have carried into battle.
I said this before. I said it a couple weeks ago. I'll say it again. This style weapon, deadlier than what we had our soldiers carry around during Vietnam.
Okay, this man is a complete and utter moron because the guns that are sold in America do not have a fully automatic capability. If I'm not mistaken, an M16, and please, Vietnam veterans, call me and share. I'd love to hear your thoughts. About 600 or 700 shots per minute, I believe, is what it is. I could be wrong. Don't have an M16. Have shot an M16, don't get me wrong, but don't have an M16.
We actually have one political party in America that will not allow us to do anything to move forward to give police officers the ability to go in.
What the hell are you talking about? In Uvalde, Texas, 20 police officers stood outside the door. Finally, a mom ran in to rescue her own kid, and they stood out there and waited till they got a key to open the door. I told you last year that what would happen is the next crisis would be food. I was right. When COVID is gone, it'll be gas. When gas is, it's still a problem, there's going to be another crisis. That's going to be food. And Joe Biden expects that. Even though the government caused the massive shortage that caused, Europe was fine. Mexico's fine. Canada, fine. United States not fine. The United States, the government of the United States, caused this problem. And Joe Biden desperately begged air carriers to use their cargo holds to bring formula from Europe and got a couple of military transports, which brought about 3 million cans of it to the country. 3.7, I think, last week, 3.7 million, which means precisely D word for Richard in the grand scheme of things when you consider how many millions of babies need to be fed in our country. Let's go to Randall in Pacific Grove, California, where the gas is what this week? Hard to tell. Randall, welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's up, my friend?
Yeah, I think it's around 7 or something, but I quit driving a long time ago. But anyway, good morning, Rob.
Yes, sir.
I want
to
talk about Uvalde. I mean, and the fact that they need to have a federal law that requires every police department and every school to have police refreshed on where the doors are, front and back, where the halls are, where the classrooms are. We want to get serious about protecting the students instead of getting rid of our
Randall, listen to this. Ohio's Republican governor is signing a bill that will allow school employees to carry handguns. This is interesting. Ohio Democrats argued against it, of course, but it was actually a Republican majority in the state's legislature insisted that the measure would prevent future tragedies, so they went ahead and fast-tracked the legislation. Now, here's the deal. This not only requires extensive training for school personnel, but also extensive, significant scenario-based training. So this is pretty remarkable. I would venture to say that if you put a no-gun zone, gun-free zone on a school building versus an Ohio school that has said, okay, we're going to go ahead and train some responsible gun owners to respond in case of something like this, that the shooter would probably go to the gun-free zone. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's defunding the police. It does not allow the resources for SWAT, FBI, and other officers. That's why it took so long. And then the second thing is they were saying that some of the police didn't know where the doors and hallways were. I'm advocating for a federal law be passed at every police department, every school in the country, have drills where the police know every hallway and door and classroom in those buildings in case there's a siege like this. That's where I believe the funding should go, and also restoring the funding to the police that's already supposed to be on duty. Because I believe that's what happened.
There were a lot of balls. There were a lot of balls dropped in the case of Uvalde. A door was left open. A teacher was outside. There was no resource officer, et cetera. At my daughter's school, there was an attempted shooting where a student got into the there's an alcove at the beginning of the school. You have to show an ID with a camera to the person in the office, and then there's a box where you are stuck between the two until you are cleared to go in. This student managed to get in because of his ID and also because he hit a handgun. But they were able to stop the shooter from hurting any more people when the police officer who's at the school took him out. So that's the kind of stuff that's working in states across America, and it's working at schools across America, and probably has already stopped even the thought of doing something like this until Uvalde. Let's go to Paul in Baltimore. Hello there, Paul. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's up, my friend?
Hi, Rob, I was just listening to you, and the military round is a 5.56 for an M16.
Yeah.
And a demonstration was usually done before you learned to shoot it in basic. I fired the 14 and the M16. And the demonstration was they would take a 50 caliber ammunition can and fill it full of water, put it downrange about 100 yards and shoot it with an M16. You would watch the sides, the fronts, the backs, the bottom, and the top blow out. That's the effect of an M16 round.
Yep. Now, when you compare that with an AR-15, what sort of a reaction do you get?
AR-15 round would not have the same velocity, the same impact.
Yep.
The AR-15 round, they were developed along when law enforcement started going to like the 9mm rounds. They're more of a defense type round.
Yeah. Well, you know, Paul, what they're going to go after, there's a couple different ways they want to go after guns in America, the left. And one of them is the high capacity magazine. They want to keep a magazine below 10 rounds, which, by the way, you know, if you got how many rounds in your 9mm, that would suddenly become a high capacity round, would be unsellable. We don't live in a day of six shooters anymore. We live in a completely different era. So as far as limitation of magazine size, that's one of the ways they're going to attempt to do it. Also, Joe Biden wants to have people be able to sue gun manufacturers when something like this happens. We saw this in the case of Adam Lanza, and the plaintiffs in the case at the elementary school involved, they were able to get money from the gun manufacturers. This is nonsensical. It is absolutely nonsensical, because otherwise, if there was a car accident, you could sue the motor company if there was an accident involving alcohol or the death related to an overdose of alcohol, then you should be able to sue Jack Daniels. It's all nonsense. It's all meant to limit the Second Amendment, and not necessarily just to limit it, but to get rid of firearms in America, Paul. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, their lawsuits make about as much sense as suing God for putting us all on this earth.
Well, there are times.
It's always the same thing when it comes to the Democrats. More laws, more legislation, take away the guns from the rights of the owners, of the legally people who own the guns, and try and take more control.
Exactly, 100%. And they're not going to be able to do it unless they amend the Constitution, and that isn't going to happen anytime soon. So what I would suggest is if somebody says that your AR-15 is a weapon of war, you say, okay, sure. Yeah, and by the way, the reason why the Second Amendment exists is so that people can defend themselves against enemies, domestic and foreign, by the way. So a weapon of war, if you want to call it that, fine. I am constitutionally guaranteed to have it, not for target practice and not for hunting. Go ahead.
Yeah, the AR-15 does not have the stopping power of the M-16, basically.
No.
But I'm 72 years old. Yes. I spent two tours in Vietnam. I can tell you this, living in Baltimore, I've never seen it worse than it is right now.
I know.
And I was a cop in this city for 27 years.
Wow.
And this is the worst I've ever seen it. And all the legislation in the world will not do anything to stop crime unless crime is enforced. In the military, you learn that before you can be in charge of anything, you must be in control. They're not in control here.
Yeah.
We're not in control in most of the places in the country. And we're losing valuable assets and officers every day because of this nonsense that they're preaching.
Yeah, it's time to fight back, Paul. Thanks for your service, bro. And as a, not only in the uniform, but also a military uniform, but also a civilian police officer's uniform, I should say. Appreciate it, bro. And please feel free to chime in about these issues and also particularly all of the things that cities like Baltimore are facing. I greatly appreciate it. Hey, guys, it's Carson. Have you guys signed up for Stamps.com yet? Well, time is money, and you don't want to waste time or money with repeated trips to the post office. Stamps.com, you could skip the trip, focus on how to take your small business to the next level. Stamps.com lets you print official postage right now from your computer, saves you money on the process. So you spend less time at the post office and more time making your customers happy. Stamps.com gives you access to all post office and UPS shipping services you might need from your computer and get discounts you won't find anywhere else. All you need is a computer, standard printer, no specials, supplies, or equipment. Stop overpaying for shipping with Stamps.com. Sign up with the promo code Newsmax at Stamps.com for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code Newsmax for Stamps.com. Here's our new Kamala Harris theme song for Paul. Jim Gossett, by the way.
Out there in California, where politicians are on the left, was a girl who helped Sleepy Joe with his 2020 theft. Liberal Cammy.
Word salad Cammy.
Cackling Cammy.
Yeah.
Oh. Every fella in Frisco town,
yes,
says she got where she is cause of Willie Brown.
Well, you know.
Do you plan to visit the border? Not today.
She won't go to the border, even though that's her post. Hanging out with the Hollywood left, that's what she loves most. AWOL Cammy, her dereliction is uncanny.
Jim Gossett, right here, come on.
Everybody says it is a shame that her excuses, they are so lame.
Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia.
She's hoping that Joe Biden won't make it through 4 years.
He won't.
If Joe and Hunter wind up in jail, Cammy won't be shedding tears. Conniving Cammy, give her an Oscar or
So here's word salad Cammie. She was at the 90th annual meeting of a U.S. Conference of Mayors. I don't know why she was there. She's not a mayor. But anyway, she was there at Reno, where I went and shot a man just to watch him die. Anyway, she was there. Here's what she had to say about being a mayor and all of the rights and responsibilities afforded.
And I know that each of you is up to this challenge.
Yes.
Because.
Yes, why?
You are the mayor.
Thank God I wasn't on a vacation with her, because I would have just taken a leap right off that 13th floor building that we stayed in. I just would have been like, you know, not worth it. Just not worth it. I can't talk to you anymore. I'm just going to go jump off the balcony. Let's go to Sean in Catonsville, Maryland, wants to talk about the AR-15. Hello there, Sean. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's up?
Oh, thank you, Rob. Really appreciate you taking my call. Just real quick, I may be coming in late to the conversation, but I'm a responsible gun owner. I purchased a 9mm handgun. It comes standard with a 15-round magazine. I bought it in Maryland, which prevents you from purchasing that size. So what they do is they block it. Okay, so it will only hold 10. That allows them to sell it. However, once it's your possession and you know anything mechanically aptitude, you can remove that. So now you have a 15-round magazine. Okay? So I had to go through a licensing procedure, which is great. I had to go through, obtain a handgun license process, 2-3 days of classes, background checks, this, that. Went to the gun store, bought the gun, went through background check, waited, picked up the gun. I now live in Pennsylvania. I can walk into a gun store, show a driver's license, wait there for, they do a cursory background check, and I get it in, you know, a few days. Furthermore, all I need is a Pennsylvania driver's license, 2 references, and I have a concealed carry permit. And you can't get a concealed carry permit in Maryland without, you know, 43 reasons.
Yeah, well, you know, I have no problem with a background check. It's fine. I have real problem with, you know, it's interesting, Sean, and I said this literally probably 12, 15 years ago when I was in Washington, D.C. as a music jock at Mix 107.3. I said that, you know, they're going to use mental fitness as a way to determine whether or not you should have a firearm. Now, you're thinking on the top of it, oh, hell yeah, you know, you don't want an insane person with a gun. Well, you know, do you realize what the government is now calling people who are not right in their minds? People who don't believe that the 2020 election was fair. People who didn't believe, who believe that the Hunter Biden laptop was real. People who believe in a 240-year-old document that guides our principles as a governing a republic. Those are things that the United States government right now are considering people who are out of their minds. So they're going to try and use mental fitness the same way the Soviet Union did to send people to re-education camps or take away their firearms. But it is interesting in the state-by-state comparison, Pennsylvania versus Maryland. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, you know, I better be careful because I think I qualify for that mental fitness. But
do you?
You know, I own both a 9mm handgun and I built, I guess it's a ghost gun because I obtained the parts and built an AR-15. It does not have a serial number, but I can go to a registered firearm dealer and get its serial number. You know, so I'm not going to go around shooting people, you know. I hate being stigmatized, but, you know, facts are facts.
90 plus percent of us are completely responsible gun owners, but the government doesn't care about that. They want to take guns away because guns bad. On the way, Amber Athey, Washington editor of The Spectator, going to be joining us to talk about gun control and other stuff. Amber Athey, Washington editor of The Spectator, she joins us on the Newsmax hotline. Good morning, Amber. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
I haven't had you on for a while. It's good to have you back on. I'd like to say that because I am a follower of yours, that I guess I'm an atheist. have you heard that before?
Man.
Have you heard that
if
before?
If I had a dollar for every time someone in high school said that to me, Rob, I would be a rich woman.
I'm sorry to whip out the dad jokes on you. I've been in a car with 2 children for like 4 days altogether. But anyway, welcome to the show. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the country. I'd like to start with this gun control push by the Biden administration. They seem to have completely forgotten Buffalo and the fact that, what was it about? Was it about the country was being divided by what was it? White replacement. White replacement, though. All of the white people. I believe you're a white person, right? I don't know what your heritage is, but you seem fairly olive complected, I guess. But that was the problem. It was white supremacy, and it was a white replacement was happening. Where did that go, Amber? Where did that go?
Well, it conveniently disappeared as soon as they couldn't use that in the Texas school shooting because the suspect was a Hispanic male. And so all of a sudden the narrative shifted to, we have to talk about guns. And Biden gave this really bizarre speech where he talked about how 9mm handguns can like rip people's lungs apart. Yes. And now his new crusade is about banning 9mm handguns. I would like to know what he plans on having his Secret Service members use instead, because they actually recently switched to nines back in 2019. So apparently he is going to have to be happy with having his own security use a lesser caliber. And then there's tons of police forces across the country who, of course, use like 45s and 40s, 40 calibers, which are even stronger caliber. So it's another boogeyman for the left to focus on, because they don't really want to talk about any of the underlying issues about why young men go on these shooting sprees.
Yeah, and one of the things that has not been mentioned, and I mentioned it the day after Uvalde, and that is, can you imagine, these are two 18-year-old men, by the way, who waited until their 18th birthdays to get guns, who were most probably in the middle of their sophomore year, maybe the beginning of their junior year in high school, when all of these insane COVID restrictions happened, and they were basically shut in rooms by themselves. They faced ostracism for whatever reason, because of bullying, and then also having to do remote learning in a dark room playing video games all day. That in combination with the last 20 years of people terrifying them that the world was going to end. Is this a big surprise to you, Amber, that a couple rogue individuals who are legit mentally ill would do something like this? And then, of course, the Democrats would use this to take away weapons from Americans that are guaranteed by the Second Amendment.
No, unfortunately, I don't think it's surprising. And obviously, we've had guns in our country since its inception. And school shootings yet have only been happening over the past 20 to 30 years. And there are so many societal factors that can cause this. The lockdowns, I think, absolutely. I mean, when you look at the mental health decline of teenagers in particular due to the 2 years of lockdowns, that's going to lead to negative outcomes of people not just harming themselves, but harming others. And then there's the decline of religion in public life. There's the lack of social ties, isolation among young men, this message that young men are toxic and they have to suppress their masculinity.
Yes.
All of that contributes to a really unhealthy environment. And these young men, unfortunately, lash out in really horrible ways. And with school shootings in particular, it's a copycat effect.
Yes.
Because they see the notoriety that the prior shooters get from the media in the way that politicians use them and talk about them in perpetuity to advance their own ends.
Yeah. Now, you know, one other thing, Amber, and I made this analogy early on after 9/11, and I was, you know, in my early 30s, my son had just been born. And I remember they were debating what to do. Armed pilots, air marshals put metal doors on cockpits and all of this. And people went bat guano crazy. People went insane with the fear of someone getting on a plane and driving it into the ground at 700 miles an hour. People went insane. Then, of course, you added all of these restrictions with regard to handguns with regard to masking and whatnot. And that's when people started to do really nutty things like try to grab a door and get off the plane, try to do whatever possible, having to be restrained by people on the plane and whatnot. This is, I think, kind of the same sort of scenario involved, where you're driven absolutely nuts by a fear that is not necessarily real. When you look at the grand scheme of things, it's the same sort of things, except for these are our students, and they've been driven insane by lockdowns, restrictions, not seeing their friends' faces, being told that everything is going to kill them. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's really good analysis. I mean, we go through society with sort of a contract with one another, and when we add masking into that scenario where you're not able to really read people's facial expressions, when you can't see, people's smiles, and in some cases, we weren't even allowed to leave our homes for certain periods of time. And even to this day, a lot of schools still have quarantines of 10 days to 2 weeks before kids can go back after they test positive for the virus.
Yeah.
And when you're not able to really interact with other humans in a way that makes you feel seen, then it contributes greatly to that sense of isolation that I imagine a lot of these young men are feeling.
I've got two kids. My son is 22 years old, just graduated from the University of Kansas. My daughter is 16. She's going to be a senior in high school. And I see the level of anxiety in their lives. I can tell it. My son is a good friend, and you could tell that she's, very anxious about a lot of things. And I don't blame kids for this, because it's very, very, very different from when I grew up. I'm a Generation Xer. You are a millennial. I guess you're closer to this than I am with regard to the bat guano craziness going on in America's schools. What did you experience growing up that, that maybe somebody a Generation Xer cannot relate to with regard to wokeism, with regard to fear in schools?
Yeah, there really wasn't much when I was in
good.
School. I was still, yeah, I mean, I still grew up in an area where we would go ride our bikes all day and we just had to be home by dinner time.
Yes.
We really had free run of the town. But as I got older, and especially when I got to college, I started to see the wokeness creep in, and I heard these accusations from people to each other. It was like classmates were all of a sudden enemies, either because of their politics or because of their skin color or their gender. We were all being pitted against one another, and it created this really divisive environment where you really couldn't trust the people that were supposed to be in your peer group. And that was a really weird sensation. And then I would also say there were other kids my age who weren't as lucky as me to grow up the way that I did. I saw some kids who really bought into the participation trophy culture that you're a special snowflake and you get everything that you want. I mean, that was a real phenomenon for millennials. My parents weren't really about that, but there were a lot of kids who did grow up that way. And it led to this mindset that if you don't get every single thing that you want in life, then you have somehow been failed by society.
Yeah.
And it can either cause kids to lash out or to be brass. I mean, there's a whole range of possible reactions to that, none of which I think are good for society.
Or throw a temper tantrum when people don't get their way. Like, for instance, at Netflix, walking out because they supported Dave Chappelle and his comedy show. There's that. I call them candy aisle kids, by the way. Let me, real quick, I know you wanted to talk about Ilya Shapiro and the Georgetown Center for the Constitution. Why don't you explain what's going on with Ilya with regard to his tweets, with the tweets shared by Ilya, I should say, and what is happening on that front?
Yeah, so I think it was a couple of months ago now, Ilya Shapiro was tweeting about Biden's decision to nominate Ketanji Brown Jackson for the Supreme Court.
You bet.
And he was pointing out that Biden using this pre-qualification of someone being a black woman to be nominated to the Supreme Court was possibly missing out on other more qualified candidates.
Of course.
So it was a commentary on affirmative action, and naturally Georgetown students, who I know quite well, I went to undergrad there, had this meltdown and demanded that the university law school fire Ilya Shapiro for even suggesting this. The university launched an investigation into his tweets, and they actually cleared him, but in a really weird kind of cowardly way, because they said that he wasn't an employee of the university when he sent it. Therefore, he could not be disciplined for it. Whereas, obviously, the correct response should have been there was nothing wrong with his tweet.
Yes.
But they reinstated him on Friday. And today he published an article in the Wall Street Journal offering his resignation. So he's actually quitting Georgetown.
I love it.
Because, as he says, he had no guarantee that he would last more than a week or two if he said anything else vaguely conservative or libertarian.
Yes.
The university made quite clear that they were not willing to protect his ability to speak.
Well, this is the manifestation of the candy aisle kids. And the reason why I call them that, Amber, is because when I was growing up, if we went to the checkout line and there was candy there, and I'd say to my mom, "Hey, mom, can I have a Snickers?" She'd say no. And I'd say, "Can I have a Snickers?" She'd say, "I said no." And now you've got kids, or at least, you know, my son's 22. I started seeing kids in stores throwing themselves down on the floor and collapsing in like they'd just been to a funeral. And you know, anything to stop the embarrassment. Mom, I'll buy you anything. Just stop embarrassing me. And that is manifesting itself in places like Georgetown, except for now the administrators of the university, the higher ups, they respond to the candy aisle kids by doing stupid crap like this. And these students, and I've got an expression I like to use. It's called get your asses to your classes. We've seen where universities like the University of Missouri, I used to respect and support until BLM took over the quad and they camped out there. And the chancellor and the university president quit because of the BLM protesters and the temper tantrums. All they had to do was say, get your asses to your classes. And they're afraid to do that. And that is what manifests itself at Georgetown Law. Do you support Elia's decision? Or are you thinking maybe this hasn't really sent a message? Maybe he could have done more good at the university. What do you think?
I have mixed feelings about it, because I really feel that the students could benefit, obviously, from his presence on campus and hearing a diverse viewpoint. But I also understand, having been in that environment before, that when you are surrounded by people who hate you and want to see your failure, there's only so much you can really accomplish there. And so I am sure his talents will be better utilized somewhere else, somewhere that's more grateful to have him. And at some point, Georgetown hopefully will see the error of their ways. There are some woke companies that are starting to realize that this is not paying off. Netflix is a great example of this. Yep. They warn their employees that if you don't like that we are producing content that you may find objectionable or that you disagree with, then you should find somewhere else to work. And hopefully more companies and more universities will start going that way.
Well, they are doing that, Amber. I've seen more and more companies do this. I know that Elon Musk said, get your butt to work, because people were saying they're not going to come to work. These things, these sort of things were happening. Pizza Hut, they're supporting apparently some sort of a drag book. Have you heard about this?
Oh, I have not, but it sounds about right.
Well, I suggested that Pizza, what they do is they, for Pride Month, if they're going to support a drag book, that they should take their vegetarian pizza and actually have sausage in it, but just cover it up with cheese and veggies. So that have the pizza actually have it to identify as a vegetarian pizza and hide the sausage with vegetables and cheese. What do you think? I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I like that. The trans pizza. It's perfect. I remember back when Pizza Hut used to have the reading program where your parents would sign off that you had read a book and you would get a free small cheese pizza.
Yes.
But I guess like maybe the classics wouldn't qualify anymore. You have to read Genderqueer in order to get your free pizza now.
Very much. All right, Amber, I greatly appreciate you joining me today. I'll never use the atheist joke again. I apologize. I just got back from a vacation with my kids, so I kind of leaned into the dad joke pretty seriously over the vacation. But I'll move away, come up with some new material. You can find Amber, you're on just about everything, Truth Social, Getter, and Twitter at Amber_Athey, right?
That's correct. And then I also have my new podcast, Unfit to Print, that I'm really excited about.
I can't wait. And is it available on all the usual suspects?
Yes, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Rumble starting, I think, today.
Oh, excellent. We'll check it out. I'm on Rumble right now as we speak. Have a glorious week, and let's have you on again much sooner this time, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the Newsmax Daily with Rob Carson. Check your cable guide or NewsmaxTV.com or watch free on YouTube, Roku, Apple, Pluto, Zumo, Amazon Fire, and your smart TV. Newsmax, America's fastest growing cable news channel. Check NewsmaxTV.com for details.